We're on with Jake Braun, the portfolio manager in Associated Bank's Wealth Management and Institutional Services area. Jake, welcome back.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me, Steve. It's good to be back.
I want to jump into a couple of things first here, but first I want to get your reading on 2022 and whether or not you see a positive or negative 2023 coming. I know a lot of different moving parts are happening, whether or not we're going to see a recession. There was so much stuff happening last year with inflation and supply chain issues. Give us a summary of what you think were the good and bad parts of 2022.
Well, the bad parts were the markets. I think you have to start there. Bonds were down double digits. Stocks were down almost 20%. It was truly unprecedented when you talk about the magnitude of drops with both the sides of the market. You know, bonds have dropped that much before, stocks have too, but together that was really, I think, what hurt all investors, everyone from all stock, all bond to mixed investors. So that was really the bad. The good was the economy, frankly. And this kind of goes back to, I think, a point that I try to reiterate, that the market and the economy, they influence each other back and forth, but they are not one and the same. We ended the year at, I believe, our lowest unemployment rate on record, certainly over the last several decades. And while inflation, we really had to deal with the bulk of inflation, and that certainly hurts, you know, paying those higher prices. Nobody enjoys that, and it definitely hurts those lower on the income ladder as well. People were getting raises because the labor market was very tight, and while like everyone can weigh, you know, their pain points differently, but paying higher prices but still having a job is kind of a nice, I guess, consolation prize. And so as we go into 2023, I think the focus gets away from, you know, the interest rate hikes, because it seems like the Fed is talking about they're close to done. And so then the question becomes, what does that mean, you know, for bond and stock markets? But I guess to close the books on 2022, it was certainly a mixed bag, and investors really across the board, I'm sure they're very quickly would like to forget that year.
Yeah. So 2023 now, it seems like all of the analysts are saying a recession is not certain, but is likely. Where do you fall in that?
Yeah, there's multiple groups you can ask. I think there's a couple main ones, certainly the main ones that get discussed in financial media the most. I'm going to start with analysts. When you see consensus estimates, a lot of times what we're talking about is, what are Wall Street analysts who cover the companies, what are they expecting? And when we aggregate that up, what's their forecast? And it's actually pretty decent. Earnings growth, price growth. The problem is, analysts aren't trying to predict the economy as a whole. They're just looking at their very narrow area. And when you aggregate them up, you're trying to come up with a forecast. That's not what analyst reports are built for. So then you might ask market forecasters, who are explicitly trying to tell us where we're going. And they have a more pessimistic view, but they still see some positive profit growth. They still see some positive price growth, about, I think, 5% or so in the S&P by the year end. But then you ask economists, and most of them, they think it's more likely than not that we enter a recession. Now, they don't really get into the market side so much, but if you just focus on the economy, they see basically 0% growth and more likely a chance that we enter a recession than not. The way that works is, remember, you know, the definition of recession, it's not that two quarters of negative growth. That's not the technical term, but it's a nice shorthand. So maybe there's a period where we have two consecutive quarters of slightly negative growth and then two quarters of slightly positive, and it evens out. Could get much worse or better, but the consensus from the economy perspective is probably a mild recession. The consensus from the market side is there might be some upside here.
So let's talk about what our strategy should be. I was reading a summary you did of quarter four, and it sort of is forward-looking as well. You write, in uncertain times, discipline remains the best course. Talk to us a little bit about that discipline and what you meant by that.
Well, we saw this last year as well, but you go back to 2021, that was the age where everything went up. 0% interest rates, there were a lot of money being transferred through the government programs in response to COVID, and it just felt like the roaring 20s. And again, everything went up. And that time ended because that can't last forever. And then you start to realize, well, company profits actually matter. It's important that when you buy a stock that the company eventually turns a profit. And we think that right now, last year profits actually didn't take a huge hit. Most of the reason the market went down is because interest rates went up and multiples, the valuations came back down to averages. But profits have begun to slowly step down since their summer highs. And if that continues, then you have to be more disciplined by looking for factors that do very well when you don't have unlimited amounts of money and 0% rates. And so from a stock perspective, when we talk about quality, we're talking about companies that turn profits. They have a record of consistently growing those profits in good times and bad times. You want companies that have good free cash flow, and that means you actually have profits in hand. They don't just exist in your accounting books. And with interest rates as high as they are, those companies need to make enough money to cover their interest rate payments. As if the economy were to shrink and revenues were to dry up, those who don't have enough to pay their bills risk default. And that's a great way to really screw up your business and eventually screw over your stockholders. And so those factors on the stock side were rewarded last year. I think they'll probably continue to be rewarded this year, especially if the economy really begins to weaken and profits shrink. But also keep in mind that because, yes, the bond market just went through a bear market. You just had crazy losses in the bond market. But as we sit here today, if you have some new money, you can go out and invest in a money market, a very safe short-term bonds for about 4% annual yield, treasuries 4.5%, other safe. So the balance between bonds and stocks have fundamentally changed, and there's actually a reward. It used to be you could only make money by being in stocks. That was kind of the story since the global financial crisis, and certainly over the last couple of years, and that's changed. Conservative investors can find meaningful return again.
Yeah. Those are some of the safe places to put some of your cash, right? I mean, and this is why it's important to have a portfolio manager or wealth manager like yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, a lot of people just don't have the time. I have no doubt that most of my clients, if they wanted to take the time to handle their investments themselves, they could do so handily. But we have lives to live, we have jobs, we have other interests. And so when you put your faith in someone to manage your money, part of that is the day-to-day monitoring. And while we're not day traders necessarily, keeping an eye on market trends, being able to keep a large cash balance, which can now be rewarded, the active kind of maybe the boring management is part of the perks. And it's one of the things that we think that we do really well and that provide a lot of value.
Are there any places you tell your clients to stay away from this year at all?
Well, I guess I'll go back to the factors that we had talked about was, avoiding very low quality stocks, very ones that are very, that don't turn a ton of profit, that rely on speculative future growth, very high growth. That's kind of where they get their value from. Those are stocks we generally avoid anyways, but I mean, you really need this shift back into a very risk on attitude where investors all collectively, we're ready to take a risk again. And I can't divine what attitudes will be in the market, but this pessimism, unless it clears, unless we enter this new growth phase, a lot of those more speculative stocks probably aren't going to be rewarded. And, when it comes to bonds, bonds also have a risk spectrum all the way from very safe, short-term, government-guaranteed to very risky. So those are companies that, like I said, have a hard time covering their interest rate payments. That's sometimes called junk bonds for shorthand. But those high-yield debt, you're just not getting rewarded for taking on that extra risk when you can make 4 to 5% on safe debt. And so our focus is still on short-term, relatively safe debt, not in the very high yield, low quality stuff.
All right, Jake, good conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
I would love to. Please reach out to me. My email is jacob.brond@associativebank.com, or just feel free to give me a call. My number is 414-278-1830. 6'4". Always happy to talk.
All right, Jake. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Steve.